Welcome to Digest This, the show that helps you revolutionize your digestive health. Here are your hosts, Dr. Liz Cruz and Tina Nunziato.
Hello and welcome to Digest This. I'm Tina Nunziato and with me is Dr. Liz Cruz. Welcome to another show. And for those of you that are avid listeners of Digest This, you know that when Tina starts a show, it's time for another GI focus. So welcome to your show, Dr. Cruz.
Thank you very much, Tina Nunziato.
Yes, we haven't done a GI focus in a while.
It has been a while.
Yes. And
it's about time.
Yeah, we just had Halloween and we had a friend over. We had a little get together at our house for Halloween and we had a get together with some of our friends that we go do like a mass trick-or-treating with a bunch of families. And she had brought up some what she felt were GI issues, and she said that she thought it might be her hernia, her
right.
umbilical hernia. And
right.
so I thought, you know, we ended up having like a 20-minute conversation with her at the table, and I thought maybe we should have had the microphone out. We should have been podcasting on
yeah,
it while
I
we
know.
Were talking
that
to her.
That would have been great.
Yes. Yeah, so, and we have done a GI focus on hiatal hernias because we see a lot of hiatal hernias in our office. So that podcast was back in 2015. For anyone that wants to go back and listen to that podcast. The other thing before we start getting into umbilical hernias is I wanted to say that our 300th show is like only a few podcasts away.
That's awesome.
I'm like super excited. 300
wow.
shows. Yeah, so we're going to be kind of doing another fun like look back at all the podcasts and what are our top podcasts and who's listening
cool.
out there. So
that'll be fun.
We'll be doing that in a few podcasts.
That'll
so
be fun, yeah.
just some foreshadowing for
yeah.
all you listeners out there. Anyway, so Dr. Cruz.
Yes.
In typical GI focus fashion, what is an umbilical hernia?
An umbilical hernia is basically where you've got a let's just say a defect, and if this doesn't make sense you tell me, but where you have a defect around the area of the navel,
the belly button
and so the defect meaning that there may be like a little bit of an opening in that area of the abdominal wall that allows for part of the contents from the abdominal cavity, like some of the fat, the omentum, which is fat, and even you could have like some of the intestine just kind of bulge through that hernia or through the defect or through the defect. And that's what's called the herniation.
Is the wall, like what is the wall made of that should be there protecting?
Muscle.
Oh, so it's
yeah,
a muscle.
Muscle.
It's a wall of muscle, right?
Right.
So I have an umbilical hernia because of me birthing twins.
Right, right.
So typically sometimes when women get pregnant, and this is what happened with our friend, she ended up with an umbilical hernia after she gave birth because when you're pregnant and it stretches out those abdominal muscles, sometimes after you have the baby, the abdominal wall doesn't heal. Like it should and completely come back together. And so then you have this opening, like you're saying, and it allows things to push through.
Exactly.
Right? So, and she mentioned that she had surgery on hers, right? And she didn't know at the time because it was, probably she said 16 years ago. But, you know, you were talking to me, I remember after having the twins, you were talking to me about doing potential surgery and having a mesh put in there. So explain what that is.
Right. And actually, I just want to kind of go back really quick to what you just said about like being pregnant. And so that is very common. It's something that we can commonly see in women after they have had a baby. Okay. Because as the baby, as the fetus is growing in the uterus, I mean, you know, it starts, I mean, your abdominal cavity, the abdominal wall start to stretch.
Right.
And those muscles can separate. And sometimes even after the baby's born, sometimes they don't come back the way
they should.
You know, I mean, for the most part, I think like a young woman who has her first baby, you know, it's her first pregnancy, usually those muscles will come back nicely. You know, that person usually is young and they're the collagen in their tissue, the elasticity. I mean, they've got still good collagen. And
what are you saying, Dr. Cruz?
Nothing. Just explaining.
Are you saying that I wasn't young and I didn't have good collagen?
Oh, no. I didn't say that.
And I also birthed twins.
You did. So you birthed twins. That's right.
I got pretty darn big.
You did. But there's a name for that. It's called diastasis recti.
Okay.
Which is where you have the separation of the muscles. Okay. And so anyways, I just wanted to mention that. But okay, so going back to
you were talking about the repair. How you can have potential surgery to repair the hernia.
Yeah. So a lot of these are a lot of times when we do CAT scans on our patients for whatever the reason may be, we will the radiologist will comment that they've got a small umbilical hernia. All right, so they've got a little defect in there, and we'll let the patient know, and we always give them the option if you want to go see a surgeon. But the reality is that a lot of them have no symptoms, and when they're small like that, the surgeon doesn't always necessarily feel that they have to be repaired. Okay, but if they do feel that they do need to, that they have to repair it, they can go in there and they can suture it up, either suture the defect to bring the
sew
the muscle back together, or use a mesh. And a lot of surgeons really prefer using a mesh.
Why is that?
Because it the mesh is kind of like a net, so to speak, that they can put in there that helps to keep things in place.
I see. As opposed to pulling the muscle back.
Exactly.
It just kind of adds
it
to
reinforces the wall.
Right,
exactly.
Right.
It reinforces it. And so, you know, I'm not a surgeon, so I don't know what the guidelines, what the latest trend is for these sort of operations. You know, like, do they put a mesh in there for everyone or just for certain cases? I'm not sure at this point, but I do know that for a lot of the hernias that we send our patients to a surgeon to get evaluated for, if they end up having surgery, a lot of times the surgeons are using mesh. Just helps to reinforce the abdominal wall.
Right. And we were talking to our friend about, you know, because it's been so long since she had that surgery, could the mesh have worn right down to where maybe she needs to have it done again,
right?
Because she was having symptoms. So let's talk about the symptoms that can come from having an umbilical hernia.
Well, if you have, I mean, if you have part of the omentum, which is like the abdominal fat that's protruding through that, and then you've got like a little piece of intestine, like a little portion of the small intestine, let's say, that keeps poking its head through there, you know, that could potentially give you some pain, and you could potentially be getting maybe some intermittent abdominal discomfort because maybe it's intermittently herniating.
Right, so it's like pushes through, pulls back. Pushes through.
You know, especially if you do a lot of lifting or a lot of, if you exert a lot of, if you do things that are going to create pressure within the abdominal cavity, like lifting, pushing, straining, all of that creates pressure.
And like exercising, like strenuous exercise.
So when you think about it, when you create that pressure, that's positive pressure inside your abdominal cavity. That's gonna, like, if you've got like a little defect, an opening there, it's gonna try to push something through that.
Right, exactly.
So the big concern is that as that herniation, as that hernia, that defect grows, which it can get bigger, you can get a larger piece of your intestine, of a loop of intestine caught up in there, okay? And there could be a time when that loop of intestine doesn't come back out, and it could get twisted. That could, you know, you've got blood vessels running throughout your intestine. I mean, that could cause obstruction to the blood supply, because now you've got a piece of intestine that's stuck in there. It's getting, you know, twisted. It's
like
strangulated.
It's like creating a balloon animal.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That's what I'm envisioning.
Analogy. Yeah,
I'm envisioning a balloon animal.
Yeah.
Like
so imagine
twisting.
Imagine that you had blood vessels in the balloon, and when you go and twist it up like that, and it gets stuck somewhere, you know, that cuts off the blood supply,
and it could
strangulate.
Yeah, it
and
could
so
kill
that
section of the intestine.
That could be catastrophic.
Sure.
I mean, if somebody's piece of intestine dies off because it's not getting the blood supply, I mean, that becomes necrotic. I mean, a person could become very sick, okay? They could become very, very sick. It could be a very catastrophic situation. So that's why on any of my patients when I do find hernias, you know, I send them over to a surgeon. Even if they're small, I just send them over and I say, look, go see the surgeon. When they're really small, I tell them. The surgeon's probably going to say, you know what, we're going to leave it alone. You're not having symptoms. But at least you've got yourself established with a surgeon so that if you start seeing that you're starting to have discomfort in that area or you're starting to even see a bulge,
right,
a bulge in that area more frequent than you had before, you've already seen a surgeon, you've already established, you go and see that surgeon and say, hey, you know what, this is getting worse.
Right. And then you were talking about how you could have two blockages. So like if...
Like, you mean like two different hernias?
No, like if you're... Let's say your large intestine gets pushed through.
Right.
And now you've got where your stool can't move through.
Oh, right, right.
Your intestine is just a tube, right? From start to finish. Right. So if it gets caught up in the hernia and the stool can't push through that area, now you've got
a blockage.
You're backed up.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. And so somebody, I mean, let's say that somebody gets a piece of, you know, they have a nice sized hernia and now a part of the intestine, a loop of the intestine gets caught up in there, you know, and it starts twisting off, you know, that person starts to get sick. They could potentially start to vomit because nothing's going through,
right,
because they've got a blockage,
right,
there from the hernia becoming strangulated. You know, they're not going to be passing any gas or probably not having any bowel movements because they're basically obstructed,
right,
from that. I mean, they don't have an obstruction like they have a tumor, but a loop of their intestine has gotten caught up in the hernia. It's twisted up. It's you know, things are not going through because it's caught up in the hernia sac.
Is the most common organs to get caught up in an umbilical hernia the intestine?
Mm-hmm.
There's really no other organs that would push through?
No, just, I mean, loops of the intestine, you know, because there's a lot of them, especially small intestine. There's a lot of small intestine.
Yeah.
You know, you've got like 20, 22 feet.
And those are all sitting like in front of the kidneys. All that stuff's more
in your abdominal
the back.
Cavity, right. Yeah. The kidneys are towards the back. You know, but the other thing I was going to say is the other thing that can get caught up in there, I mean, if you were to open up the abdominal cavity and cut through the muscle, you've got like an apron of fat, you know, it's called
underneath
the omentum.
The underneath the muscle?
Yeah, it's called the omentum. And it's kind of like an apron that helps to keep everything together. You've got that,
like
you've got the fascia. Yeah, it just kind of, you know, everybody, you know, a lot of people just think their intestine is just thrown in there. Mm-hmm. And it, I mean, but, you know, it's got this apron and mesentery. It's all of this that helps to support it and keep it somewhat suspended in the abdominal cavity, so to speak.
Right.
I mean, it's not suspended, but you know what I mean. I mean, it to give it some support.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. It's really cool.
It is cool.
Yeah.
It's really cool. Very cool. Yeah. So sometimes you get a lot of times on the CAT scans, you'll see they will describe the hernia, like we're talking about umbilical hernia. So they'll describe some protrusion of the abdominal fat, the omentum through there, and sometimes they'll comment, oh, and there's, you know, a little loop of intestine in there, but it's not, you know, it's not strangulated, or it's not, you know, it's not causing any blockage or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we see all sorts of different descriptions from the radiologists, but it is fascinating because, you know, and maybe we should do another podcast on the different types of hernias, because this is like one type of hernia, you know, and a lot of times when I tell my patients after I finish doing an endoscopy, I said, you have a hiatal hernia. Oh, yeah, I know. And they'll point like down to their belly button or somewhere else. And they're like, yeah, I knew about that. I'm like, no, this is a different hernia. This is a hiatal hernia. But you can have all sorts of other different types of hernias. So
maybe we should do our next GI focus on all the different types of hernias and how they come to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Anyway, well, thank you so much for talking to us about
umbilical
hernias. Anything else you want to add before we wrap it up?
No, thank you for joining us. And please stay tuned for our next podcast.
All right. We'll look forward to catching you on the next podcast.
Thank you for joining Dr. Liz Cruz and Tina Nunziato. To learn more about their revolutionary products and services, go online to www.drlizcruz.com.